And so this morning, we have a good friend of ours. Many of you are familiar with his voice and his friendly face. John Chandler pastors a church called Austin Mustard Seed. They're in the Rosedale neighborhood, kind of in North Austin. And so they're a wonderful community. We consider a sister community that we've learned from as well. And so let's welcome John this morning.
Friendly face. Thanks, Gideon. I get a little angry at Gideon. I got my hair cut yesterday because I every 6 to 12 months I decide I'm going to grow out my hair. And then I get fed up and I cut it, and it happened yesterday. And then I see him and it seemed so smooth and graceful. So it's good to be with all of you except for Gideon. Yeah, no, I am from Austin Mustard Seed, and I just wanted to take a moment actually to say thank you to many of you, I suppose, because often one of the things that happens is when we have a new face join us at some point in our liturgy or for something we're doing, and you know, I say, well, how did you find Mustard Seed? And more often than not, they say, well, so-and-so told me about it, and I said, you know, oftentimes it's somebody from Mustard Seed, but often it's not. And they say, yeah, they don't actually go here. And then when I press a little bit, I often find that it was someone from here. So I know that often you speak well of us and you meet people and you say, well, you know, if you live over that way or something. And so people keep finding their way to us because of you. So thank you to all of you for that. Yeah, we're going to jump in here. One other thing to be aware of is, I hope I make it through this. I had the guilty pleasure of seeing Jimmy Eat World at Stubbs on Friday night, and I was perhaps a little too exuberant in my singing along at certain times. All of you who are in your 30s and up, you appreciate what I'm saying right now, I think. So I think I'm going to make it through, but I might sound like I'm going through puberty once or twice during this morning's sermon. We'll see how that goes. For Christmas this year, we got a very nice electronic piano for our kids. Our kids right now are 16, 12, and 10, and they're showing some musical interest, perhaps some aptitudes, I'm not sure, but they're certainly showing some musical interest, and so we thought that would be a fun gift for all. We did opt for the electronic piano because A, it takes less space, and B, you can plug in headphones, so it also works very, very well for that. But one of the things we realized is like my wife, I don't know that my wife ever took piano. She was a flautist in her day. I took a couple years of piano from Karen, Maine in Longmont, Colorado in like fourth and fifth grade. So I was not ready to jump in and start teaching my kids piano. Like I can name the keys and all that. But also at the same time, for the sake of both finances and time and taking kids more places, we were trying to figure out, do we have the capacity in our family in this season to actually get lessons for our kids to learn how to play the piano? And the answer was no. But we realized there might be other options because we live in this age of the internet. We live in this age of these tutorials. And I was familiar with the website Udemy. Maybe some of you are familiar with Udemy right here. And so I thought maybe there's a way to teach our kids piano on Udemy. And so I got on there and I worked through, and there's a billion courses on how to learn the piano on Udemy. And I spent a lot of time just trying to figure out which one of these would be the best one, which one's the right fit, how do I know these are any good? And ultimately, I mean, I think I picked based on price and based on cheaper price is what I'm saying here, based on price, but also just based on what are the number of reviews that are available and people have apparently had good experiences. So we picked one, and I can happily report now about 5 months later that our kids, they know the keys, they play, you know, they're playing drills and stuff like that. They're certainly far superior to what they were 5 months ago by watching these Udemy videos on an iPad sitting in front of the music stand. And it is not a substitution for what they would experience if they had lessons, for sure. But it's just been, it's really been a blast to see two out of three really take to it and really enjoy starting to learn and play the piano. And, Udemy has been an interesting thing for me because as I was on there, and I was familiar with it before, but as I was on there, I hadn't been on their website in a long time when I started looking for these. And you can learn anything. You can learn anything you want to on Udemy. I don't know that if you can learn it well, but you really, it's crazy how many videos they have on here. And so like these are from earlier this week. These are the top courses as of, I think I took this screenshot on Thursday or Friday. The first one is the complete WordPress course for beginners by Ferdy Korpershek. I'm going to say his name is, which in full disclosure, I actually am also, I work part-time making WordPress websites, and I actually was contracted by a company to create WordPress tutorials. And he has 456 ratings of 4.5, and I think I sold 4.5 videos when I made mine. I think it's because Ferdy's definitely got a face for screencasts, and I do not. It's way more. I should have gotten a stock photo on mine. But so people are taking online Japanese cognitive behavioral therapy practitioner certificate. That one's maybe a little sketchy. I'll just say that right now. Like I say, you can learn anything. I'm not sure you can learn it well. I'm aware there are plenty of therapists in the room here at Vox. Become an algebra master. That one seems a little more possible. Another Japanese course. And so I get on a website like this, and I just get excited, right? Because I'm a really nerdy guy. I like to learn things, and so I see all of the possibilities of all these things. But there's also the question of, like, what kind of authority do any of these people in these videos have to teach me these things? Are they qualified, and will I be qualified to practice cognitive behavioral therapy after I watch 20 hours of videos or whatever it might be? And so, that's always been a question for me, is can they really teach me this well, not only in the format, but are the people who are teaching this qualified to teach this? And then around the same time as I was doing all this for my kids, I ran across this because I don't know how, but Facebook started showing me ads for Masterclass. Who's seen Masterclass? Anyone? Yeah. So Masterclass, they've solved the expert authority problem because they get like the leading celebrity experts in the world to teach you these things. So they have Gordon Ramsay teaches cooking, and they have, you can see down there, go back to that one, you can see down there on the bottom right hand side, Steph Curry teaches shooting, ball handling, and scoring on a video. And then you got the next one, you've got Samuel L. Jackson teaches acting. Listen, I can watch all the videos I want of Samuel L. Jackson, and I will never be able to replace him in a film. I don't have his voice. I can't say things the way Samuel L. Jackson says them, no matter how purple my lightsaber might be. I just will never. All right, you can take that off for it. There's this possibility that exists in all of these that I get really excited about because I am always eager to learn new things. And so I browse through this site, or you know, and there's so many others. I mean, I have the same experience. I go to the bookstore. I think I have 80 unread books on my Kindle right now because there's so much there that I want to get and I want to capture and I want to learn, right? And so we live in this time where all the doors are open to us. We live in this time where anything we might want to learn or learn how to do is out there and it's available to us. And so on the one hand, that's this great thing because it's this possibility. And we live in a complex time, right? We live in a complex time where you need more tools and you need more skills in order to get ahead. And so you always have to be bettering yourself. And so there's tools out there that are able to help you do that. But there's also, for me, and I think this is not just true for me. I think it might be a little more true for me. But there's also this subtle, maybe even insidious undercurrent that goes with these. Because when I look through these videos and I see all of these things that I could learn, or I go to the bookstore or whatever it might be, and I see all these possibilities of ways that I could advance myself, improve myself, gain new skills, there's this thought in my head of, I could be more. I could be more. I could learn how to do this too, and I could learn how to do this too, and I want it all. But behind that, there is also, I've come to recognize this subtle message of I should be more. I should be more. I should learn this. I need to learn this in order to keep up. I need to learn this because everybody is learning these things, and we're in this competitive society, and everybody is jumping ahead of me, and everybody is learning these things. And so there's this subtle message I experience all the time of I should be more. So here this morning, you come together as Vox. You come together as this community of people who, even in one of the prayers today earlier, it said the way, capitalized, capital W, which was the original language for what followers of Jesus were called, the way. And you come together with this understanding that there is this Jesus way of living. And some of you are deep into that, and perhaps it's been all your life, or maybe for some of you it was something that was part of your childhood, and then you spent some time away from it and you've come back to it as you're trying to make sense. And maybe some of you are here at Vox today, and maybe you're here for the first time today. Maybe you've been here for a while, but you're just intrigued and you're not sure any of it is true. You're not sure it makes sense. Maybe you did chuck it a while ago and you're putting your feet back in, or maybe you've never been around it. But you're here today because there's this community of people here, Vox, who call yourselves Christians, call yourselves followers of Jesus. And so some of you are like, I believe this works, and I need to understand it better. And some of you are here to say, because you're saying, well, maybe this works, and so I want to see how it's working out for these people. Wherever you come from, that is what this Christian thing is. That is what this follow the way of Jesus thing is this people who are coming on board and learning this way of life that we were invited to. So I want to have you read here a passage from Luke chapter 5. And this is, you can put this up on the screen. I'll have you read this in the common Vox way. I haven't been here in a while. I trust you still do it this way, where you can read this alongside your neighbors around you. Just read through this story together. Well done. That was not the reading that I expected. The Vox way I knew was, you know, you read with your neighbors around you. But you all held together really well, really well. So we have this story that is early in the life of Jesus, like going out in public and beginning to do this work. And he comes to this man who we see his name Simon. Later on, we understand his name is he starts to go by the name Peter. But Jesus comes to these gentlemen who are fishing, and through the story we just read, he invites them to say, I would like to invite you to follow me. I would like to invite you into this way of living that is the fuller expression of who you were created to be. And so we read throughout the biography of Jesus that we find in Luke, and we find it in Matthew and Mark and John as well, that Jesus takes these disciples to be followers. And he spends 3 years with them and teaches them and shows them the way and says constantly this teaching of this is what life looks like in the kingdom of God. This way of living is this Jesus way of living, of life in the kingdom of God. Life as humans were intended to live. Life as you were created to be. And so they walk with him and they follow him. And then that leads us up to where we were just a few weeks ago on Good Friday, when we recognized that this same Jesus who invited these followers for 3 years was crucified on a cross. And then we have this story that we celebrated on Easter 6 weeks ago of resurrection, of this Jesus who showed that there is this kingdom of God way, this Jesus way, to show really, I think one of the things that happened through the resurrection is just Jesus showing the authority of everything that had been teaching them, that this is true. This is life to the fullest. And so Jesus resurrected. And then, so we've been celebrating for these past 6 weeks what we call the season of Easter, this time of Jesus showing back up after this resurrection, making appearances to the disciples. And we continually talk about for this past 6 weeks of this Easter season, this resurrection way that everything that Jesus taught now is empowered to come through because Jesus has the resurrection. Jesus has demonstrated the resurrection. And then that leads us to what we call the book of Acts, which is really the sequel for Luke. And in the very first chapter of Acts, we read this story that Jesus makes one final appearance to those disciples. And he says, I want you to wait here. I want you to wait here in Jerusalem because something is coming. Specifically, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is coming. And when the Spirit comes, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the disciples go and they wait in this room in Jerusalem. And that brings us to today. Today we are celebrating the day of Pentecost. Now, I wish that for all of us, I wish for that all of the Christian faith, that the day of Pentecost would be as packed of a house and church gatherings as Christmas is and as Easter is. Because the day of Pentecost should be on equal plane and equal par with Christmas and Easter. Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, God coming in flesh. And Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, flesh restored to how it was intended to be. But here today, we celebrate the beginning of the church. Here today, we celebrate the beginning of the Christian story. And just in the same way we want to celebrate the coming of Jesus in flesh and incarnation and the resurrection, today we celebrate that the Spirit came to the church. That as Jesus left and as he said to his disciples, I'm leaving, but something else is coming, something better, then we get to this day. And so we call this the day of Pentecost. And so I'll read this story, all right? So I can kind of comment my way through it as we go. But this comes from Acts chapter 2, and this is what happened on that very first day of Pentecost. It says this, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, this day is called Pentecost because it was actually a religious holiday from Judaism. And so all of these people had come to Jerusalem for this big festival of Pentecost, and they were there. Many of them had probably actually been there for 6 weeks. They'd been there going all the way back to Passover, which is what was being celebrated when Jesus was crucified. And they just stayed there because often they would just make a sojourn to Jerusalem to be part of these two festivals. And so the disciples were there, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they, meaning those disciples of Jesus, were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So hold on there for a minute, Matt. So this is the third time that I've been with you, Vox, on Pentecost. I don't know if Gideon does not like Pentecost. I don't know if Gideon even knows that this is the third time that I've been with you on Pentecost. I remember that. Probably none of you remember that, and that is okay. I could have just re-preached a sermon. I didn't. This is not that. But all that to say, I did tell you when I was here, I don't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago on Pentecost now, that this imagery of fire is loaded. It's this loaded visual idea, because as you work your way back through the Old Testament in a way that those who experience this could not miss, and in a way that those who might have originally been reading this could not have missed, this imagery of fire is imagery of God's presence. And so if you work back through the Old Testament, you read stories of God appearing to Moses in a burning bush. This fire is the presence of God. We see stories of God coming down on a mount called Sinai to give the Ten Commandments. And what comes down is what? It's fire and smoke. We see imagery of this story where they build this grand tabernacle, and then later this grand temple for God to dwell in, where they place this Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments. And each time when those places were dedicated, they were filled with fire and smoke. And so they would not have missed when they read this, that this fire indicates that God has come. God is present. God is here. All right, we can keep going now. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? The reason they probably knew they were Galileans is because Galileans were like the Hicks of there. I mean, they had what would be the equivalent, no offense, I know I'm in Texas, they had the equivalent of what we would consider a Southern accent that would typically be considered not quite as highfalutin, if I can say it that way. All right. Won't say any more because I am in Texas and some of you are from Texas all your lives. All right. So then they say this, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Peter would be the same Simon that we read about in the prior story. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we have this story that takes place. That is our birth. That is the beginning of the church. And as they're sitting there and as they are just waiting as Jesus had commanded them and Jesus had told them, suddenly these tongues of fire come and the presence of God is there and the presence of God comes and just sits over each and every one of them. This fire that would have brought to their minds the burning bush, Mount Sinai, the dedication of the tabernacle, the dedication of the temple. And they have this understanding of now, perhaps, yes, Jesus has left us and we wish Jesus was still here. But now we have this spirit who has come in an even more personal, in a more intimate way for us as individuals and for us as a community, because Jesus was limited by that body. But now the spirit is available to all. And so he stands up and he shares this message and he goes back to this prophecy from centuries and centuries before by this prophet named Joel, where it says you're young and you're old and your men and your women all will have the Spirit poured out on them, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, that language of saved, and this story goes on, and you know he talks more about what happened through Jesus, and it says that thousands of people that day said, "I want to be a part of this," and became the beginning early church, thousands of people. But this language that he says here, shall be saved, we get caught up in that language because it's got this 20th, 21st century mystique to it, that being saved is just like somehow you're flagged for some kind of good eternal destination versus a bad eternal destination. But it would have been so much bigger and so much fuller, this idea of salvation for them. Because for them, salvation was very tangible and very now. It was this recognition that they were being invited into this fuller life, this life as it was intended to be, that throughout the Old Testament, God had said, "I want you to be my people who live in this way that I designed you to live." And so now they have this understanding that this Spirit is coming to be the one that guides us into this way, into, as I said earlier, this life in the kingdom of God. So earlier about that Luke passage, I actually jumped past this, and I want to go back to it, because there was this quote about that passage that maybe you can identify with. This comes from one of my favorite Christian writers, a guy named Dallas Willard. And he says this about Luke, about Peter meeting Jesus in that Luke story. "Peter was overwhelmed by the otherness of Jesus. Holiness is fundamentally otherness or separateness from the ordinary realm of human existence in which we believe we know what we are doing and what is going on. It is the idea of something else in current terminology. Peter was saying, Lord, you are something else altogether from me. How can you stand to be around me? This something else presented in Jesus and his gospel makes it starkly clear that we are something dreadfully less. It is the burning sense of this that both breaks our pride and confidence and makes us long to be a disciple. So there's this hearkening back to what I named earlier of the experience I have of this constant feeling when I look at Udemy or Masterclass and imagine myself as Samuel L. Jackson, the Jedi with the purple lightsaber. There's this hearkening back to, I should be more. I could be more, but I watch this and I should be more. And I think that's the same experience that Peter has, that Dallas Willard describes here. Is the first time Peter encounters Jesus, there's this recognition that there is something more here than I have. There's something more here than I'm experienced. I'm a fisherman. I'm the expert fisherman. And this man just filled up our nets when we told him it was not possible. There is something more here. And our invitation this morning, as we sit in this day of Pentecost, is you could be more. And I will say you should be more, not in an insidious way, but in an invitational way, that the Spirit has come to this body, to this people. The Spirit came all those centuries ago, and the Spirit has continued to move into the church and through the church continue to shape and form people as Jesus followers, continue to shape and form people into the way of Jesus. So yes, you have the possibility. Will you have the imagination to be the more true version of who you were created to be? And that is found not through Udemy videos and not through Masterclass and not through all of the books on my Kindle, though they might help, but it's found through the guiding and shaping work of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of the church. God's presence still active and still at work in the life of the church today. A couple of reflections I have on that, and then we'll wrap up. The first one is this direction of the Spirit that I think happened for them then and continues to happen for us today is not so much about morality. This direction of the Holy Spirit coming and taking charge of our lives and taking charge of you as a community and you as a people, it's not just so much about morality. It's not just so much about you being good people or nice people or having, I think, what did you say? I have a friendly face, Gideon, whatever it was that you said, or having good hair versus bad hair, whatever it might be. It's not just about making you into nice people or good people, but it is a forming of your identity. It is a forming of your calling. The work of the Spirit opens us up to who we were created to be as humans, those who were created in the image of God, that the fullest, best expression of what humanity is a reflection of who God is, both in terms of how we interact relationally, and this God exists as this always loving Trinity. It's this invitation to that identity that we have, and it's an invitation to our calling, to our vocation, that God placed humanity on this earth. God placed humans into this created reality to be the caretakers of this, to be God's presence in this world. And so the work of the Spirit isn't just to make you nice. That's not a bad thing. I mean, it's good if you're nice to people. But the work of the Spirit coming into the church is to continue to form you as a people into your full identity and into your full calling of what you could be and of what you should be in an invitational, not an insidious way. The Spirit's direction is about restoring the image of God in you. And then the other reflection I have on this, as I've been thinking about this a lot, is the Spirit is given both individually and community. That it's not either or, but it's both and. that, yes, the Spirit came and the Spirit rested above them as individuals. There were individual tongues of fire, but the Spirit came also to the church. And so on the one hand, there is all of you who are in this place and saying, yes, I want to open myself up to the leading of the Spirit, and opening yourselves up to the practices that I know that you talk about regularly here at Vox, and saying, God, shape me and form me. Allow your Spirit to guide me into who I was created to be. But there's also this understanding that this is Vox as a community, that the Spirit dwells among you. And there's this shared experience you have as the Spirit dwells among Vox as a church. And you experience the Spirit individually, but you also experience the Spirit fully by the way that you interact with one another together. Gideon came and preached for us, I think last time we had you was in December. And one of the things that he did that I took note of was he had a practice. You know, and he put up a slide and he said, here's a practice for you to go out with. And, you know, he gave everybody this practice. That's a good idea. I should steal that. So we've tried to steal that. We don't do it every week, but we've been much more intentional in Mustard Seed about every week sharing, like, here's a practice of how this thing that we're talking about and that we've been teaching today might look in your life. And I gave a practice about a month and a half ago. And somebody who is actually not part of Mustard Seed on Sundays, but he listens to our podcast and I see him regularly, told me like 2 or 3 weeks later, he's like, yeah, that practice that you gave, that was so helpful for me. And I'm like, I said a lot in that sermon, you know? And he's like, no, but that was really good for me. And it's just really helped me. And I mean, I won't go into all the details, but he just named that. And what I want to suggest for you today then is something similar to that, which I know that it continues to be something that every Sunday you are invited to some kind of practice, maybe one, maybe a few, I don't know. Here's my practice for you. Share your practices, meaning share your experience with your practices. I would invite you as Vox, as a people who are being formed alongside one another by the Spirit into this way of Jesus, that you take on those practices, that you put them in place each Sunday when they are suggested by whoever sits in this chair. Now, my encouragement to you is, what does it look like for you to share your experience with someone else and say, this practice that was named 3 weeks ago, or this practice that was named 1 week ago, this is how I've been doing it, and this is how it's been meaningful for me. Because if you just rely as a people on the leadership team, the NAV team that stood up here and made this pledge to serve you, you're never going to experience the fullness of what the Spirit is trying to do among you as a people. And if you just rely on those who sit in this chair to teach you some kind of practice and hope that they've done it themselves and that you can just glean something from that, you're never going to experience the fullness of who Vox could be as a people as you all open yourselves up to this leading and shaping and guiding of the Spirit. So my practice for you today is simply share what you are learning from your practices. Share what practices are working for you with others. Maybe do it at lunch today. As those of you who go to lunch, maybe get together with somebody this week. Share how these practices are working for you, because that is how we all start to take it on. That is how we all start to learn it. I did run across not long ago another website for another way that you can learn something. And I feel like this one captures quite a bit more of something I would like to be a part of. And that is this. So this is called the League of Kitchens. Are you familiar with this, anybody? Just that chuckle. Okay. The League of Kitchens is an immersive culinary adventure in New York City where immigrants teach intimate cooking workshop in their homes. That same typo, I first ran across this 6 months ago, and that same typo was there 6 months ago and is still here. I wonder if there's like slightly broken English just to give it credibility. I'm not sure, right? But the idea of the League of Kitchens is you can have an immigrant grandma teach you how to cook all sorts of food from different. So here's like some of the ones who are available, right? I shouldn't even begin to pronounce this, but Reshana from Nepal says, I connect with people through the love I put into my food, and I put a lot of love into my food. Angie from Mexico, my philosophy is to cook with passion and no fear and love, lots of love. Damira from Uzbekistan. The most important ingredient to cook with is love because I love the process of cooking and all the people I cook for. Everything tastes good. I totally believe her. I do. I would gladly sit, or well, I guess stand alongside any of these ladies and say, will you please teach me how to do this? This is not in Austin. It's only in New York City. What a beautiful picture of what this place should be. And when I say this place, I mean you as a people, right? What a beautiful picture for you to understand that each of you is being led and shaped and formed and guided by the Spirit of God. That is what Pentecost is all about. It's this recognition that this community of people is opening themselves up to the Spirit. And then what does it look like for you to walk alongside one another and teach one another and train one another and say, I have been open more to the Spirit of God because of this practice, or I'm recognizing that the Spirit of God is shaping and forming me in this way, and I'm recognizing who I could be and who I have the possibility to be, and to see that in one another and to call that out in one another and to say, I see the possibility in you for you to be such and such. See, what's different about this from videos is there's tons of authority. Right? There's tons of credibility with these ladies because you can be alongside them and you can smell it and you can taste it and they can show you how to cut it and all that stuff. And this community of people is this community who walks alongside one another. The Spirit came to each of them individually and the Spirit came to the community. So what does it look like for you as people empowered by the Spirit to walk alongside one another and shape and form and speak into the lives of one another as you share how you are being shaped and formed and spoken into? So what I'd like to do is I'm just going to give you a moment just to sit and pause and reflect, and then I'll close us in prayer here in a minute, and then we will move on in the service for Eucharist. But just take a few minutes and just simply pray, Spirit, come upon me and show me your way. Just reflect on those words. God, I thank you for this church, for this community of people. God, I pray your Spirit would be on Vox. I pray your Spirit would be on each person here, and I pray that they would be open to how you are shaping, how you are forming, how you are guiding, how you are leading each to their calling, how you are leading each to their identity. I pray that Vox would never just be a community of people who rally around some written out set of beliefs. I pray that Vox would never be just a group of people who just really like each other a lot and find some kind of common religious language. God, I pray Vox would be a people where your Spirit is at work and shaping and guiding and directing, not just those who have some leadership position, but that your Spirit is at work through all who are covenant members and offering themselves to one another, that your Spirit is upon even those who are here just curious and wondering. I pray that each of us would be open to what your Spirit has for us. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.